Ben and Samantha, thanks so much for coming to North State Public Radio today.
Thank you, Nolan. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
So I personally know how you first started playing music together because from the band Decades, but maybe for our listeners, can you tell us the story behind how you both first met each other and tell us about how when you first decided to start this acoustic project?
Well, the first time that I met Ben, I was about 15 years old and feeling super cool hanging out at his family's house with his younger brother and some friends, and
Nothing to do with music, really, whatsoever.
No, nothing to do with music.
It had more of me being like the older cool kid.
Yeah, he was the older cool kid.
Sneaking up on my younger brother's friends.
Yep, and so for like 10 years, Ben was this like amazing idol of like coolness that I got super nervous around, and then he joined the band like 10 years later, and I was like, oh, you're a nerd just like me. This is great. We both love music.
Yeah,
awesome.
And I knew Samantha, you know, sort of peripherally just through the Chico Cabaret and through the whole theater scene in Chico, and you know, she had a reputation for having a great voice, and I knew that she was involved with, I was never involved with any theater that she was involved in, so we were kind of like, you know, sort of aligned parallel in the theater, you know, community, I guess. Mm-hmm. We never really crossed paths than that one moment in the hot tub in my parents' backyard.
Heard how great each other were.
Yeah, and then I joined the band that she was already in, and there were long car rides where we were sharing music that we both liked, and we found that we had a lot of musical similarities, you mm-hmm. know, in our tastes for music. And so, it was, you know, and it kind of, our first performance actually came from, I think it was my dad asking us to come into his classroom. He had a small classroom over at Pleasant Valley High School, and he had a day where he just needed someone to come in and fill up some time. And he asked me if I wanted to come in and play some music because I always enjoyed playing some, you know, more singer-songwritery stuff like Jim Croce and Cat Stevens and that
James
sort of
Taylor.
Stuff. And I knew that Samantha also really liked that sort of music, and so I invited her to come and sing along with me, and we put together a set list about 3 years ago, I think. Or maybe it's
it was more than that. It was like 6 years ago almost, like five and a half.
Yeah, I guess my timeline's a little off.
Yeah. It's flown by.
A few days ago.
But yeah, after we started with that, it was like, wow, this is really, really fun. We sound good together. We should do this more often.
Yeah. Well, let's take the timeline even further back because you reminded me that you both were involved in musical theater or just theater in general. Mm-hmm. But how did you first individually get started with music, and then when did you begin writing your own songs individually, like way back when you were a kid?
Well, for me, I guess my first instrument was piano. I picked up piano for a year. I had a great piano teacher, and I picked that up, and he was involved with a swing band, and he moved away, and so I stopped taking lessons after that. And I put down music, I guess I put down playing music for a little while, and it wasn't until I got into high school that I wanted to learn how to play the guitar, and so I just spent hours in my room playing, you know, trying to learn chords and just, you know, struggling through those finger callus pains that when you're first learning how to play guitar. And I don't know, and you know, being involved in theater, I was encouraged to learn how to sing, and so I was taking vocal lessons and getting involved with musical theater. I think my first big musical theater role was Little Shop of Horrors. I played Seymour Krelborn, and that was when I was, I think, 15 years old. And so I picked up the guitar pretty soon after that, just with being able to sing, and I really wanted to just be able to accompany myself so I could play sort of all the time. It seemed a little weird to be just singing. For me, anyways, I was maybe a little bit self-conscious. I didn't want to sing a cappella, just letting my voice kind of be bare and for everyone to hear. So I wanted to be able
Here
to
I
accompany
am.
Myself, yeah, and play the guitar along with myself. And I started writing songs pretty soon after that. You know, you're a teenager and you think you're going to let out a bunch of emotions by writing songs. And so that's what I was doing. I was just, you know, no one would have ever heard these songs otherwise. So I ended up moving 3,000 miles away, and that's where I ended up playing some of my first singer-songwriter shows, you know, far, far away from anyone who would ever know the subject of the songs, who would have ever known the context under which the songs were written, and that felt very safe. And I was lucky enough to have friends and coworkers that would come out and support me doing my singer-songwriter show. And I did that for about 4 years before I moved back to Chico and tried to continue writing songs once I moved back home, and kind of still dabbled in it until I joined Decades. And that's been kind of a musical education all unto itself. So that's my story wrapped up in a little bow. Samantha?
Well, similar to Ben, I definitely started young with piano, and I've been singing all my life. I'm 30 years old now, and just some of my earliest memories are my mom and I singing lullabies, and we had to go through the whole list. I had a whole list that we had to hit each song before I went to bed, and so I have just loved music since before I could remember. And around 3 years old, after Christmas one year, I started plunking out the first Noel, and my mom was like, "Oh my gosh, we should give you piano lessons," which I was terrible at because I was so stubborn as a kid. And so I just dabbled through that and did a ton of singing competitions, and I sang in my church choir growing up and just got like a general kind of understanding for reading music and stuff with that. And about 15... was when I realized that I had a huge passion for theater. And actually, one of my first shows, well, my very first show was at Ben's parents' theater, the late Chico Cabaret that used to be over in the Almond Orchard. And just my heart exploded. I felt like these are my people and stuff, and just all these people who are passionate about music and the arts. And I started getting heavily involved with that. And I think I picked up guitar around that same time, but just, again, played with it and didn't really do a whole lot of practicing because I was, again, stubborn. I think I was actually going to be transferring over to Chico State for a theater degree when the band picked me up and was just like, well, I could go into a whole bunch of debt with this, or I could actually be making money and doing live performance and gaining experience through that. And so that won out. And for 6 years, I was the female singer in Decades, and that was an amazing experience for me. Because my hands were free, I actually ended up picking up a plethora of different instruments. I play the harmonica now, the penny whistle, a whole bunch of percussion, and piano. I feel so much more proficient with, and guitar and bass for a few songs and stuff. But yeah, it's the singer's hands are free, so it's like, here, try this one, and. Yeah, actually, about a year ago, I started dealing with an inner ear issue to where I'm sensitive to low bass frequencies, and that unfortunately forced me to take a step back from performing with the band. Any type of rock and roll with that amplified sub was a little bit too overwhelming for my ears, and so. So I didn't have to be completely removed from the music scene is when Ben kind of suggested that we start doing kind of an acoustic thing. And we'd already been singing together regularly. And so luckily that's how the Bidwells were kind of born officially. So I can still stay involved with music. And luckily there's a whole plethora of amazing Chico talent that do a lot of acoustic stuff around town that have been nice enough to invite me to be a part of, which has been really wonderful.
Nice. So I was hoping you could take us through kind of how you work on songs together
and
the writing process. So how does it begin? Like, you know, when you're starting a song, where is it at from the very beginning, and how does it work when you're collaborating with each other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our collaboration is just as new, I would say, as you know, being the Bidwells, which has not been for all that long. And so the songs that we've collaborated on are pretty limited. You know, a lot of the songs that we're playing live right now are songs that each of us kind of had in our own personal catalog.
Yeah, each of us had written, I would say, around like 20 to 50 songs, maybe. And that even just pieces of stuff that we ended up actually, once we started collaborating, it was like, kind of breathing new life into our own material, stuff that we set aside, being like, I don't know what to do with this.
Mm-hmm. Things that were like locked in the vault.
Yeah, yeah. There's like a song that I wrote in particular that I'm thinking of called Able that I wasn't like too fond of. And Ben was like, I love this. He saw the potential of it. And he helped me actually workshop it. And it became much more of a collaboration. So right now it's more of adding on to each other's collections with just sprinkling in kind of working at home and collaborating on some stuff right now. But it's a lot of like, what do you think of this line? Yeah, I like this. And what about this melody? Ooh, let's try this. And kind of just bouncing off of each other for ideas.
Yeah, the process for writing songs individually is definitely different than, when we get into the same room together. And I think that really helps, actually, for a lot of these songs, especially the ones that have been sort of long forgotten or have collected dust over the years. It's really nice to kind of get a fresh set of ears listening to a song and saying, oh, that actually this has potential, something that maybe, if you just sat with it for years and years and, didn't really do anything with it, with playing in the band, it's like with playing in decades, it's, there's not really a whole lot of opportunity to really explore your originals further than the inside of your own house. And so, sharing them with Samantha and having her, encourage me or if I'm listening to a song of Samantha's and having her, being able to encourage her to like, no, actually we should spend more time with this and sort of flush it out. It's it turns out to be, something that I enjoy again.
Yeah.
But with songs that we've just started, sort of writing together, we were just doing this last night, actually. We had I had come up with some lyrics and I'd shared them with Samantha, and we were kind of, so if a line didn't really feel right, it's just kind of an open environment. It's really, it kind of feels like nothing's really set in stone until we record it, or until we play it live, and then I guess that's like the version that we're going to stick with. But until that moment, I think that if a line sticks out to one of us, we kind of listen to that, and it feels really sort of intuitive to just, it's like a relationship. I mean, a lot of musical, bands are a relationship all into themselves, but like this is, it's very just much like listening to each other, and if somebody hears something that's not quite right, just saying, okay, well, it sounded right to me, and instead of really like putting your foot down and drawing a line in the sand and like, no, this feels right, this is right to me, you're wrong, it just is, it's an exercise in listening to what the other person has to offer, and I think that we both appreciate and respect each other's opinion enough to just be patient and hear each other out and say, okay, actually, if that's not going to work, then let's come up with something that will work, and something that's even better, hopefully.
One of the greatest things about writing with Ben is he is one of the most patient and flexible people that I've ever known. And so he's making faces right now going, gosh. But I really have learned so much about being open because, as I mentioned, I was a little stubborn growing up. And he really is teaching me a lot with just his demeanor in itself. And that really translates over to his songwriting, too. It's a really wonderful experience working with him.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And my next question is also about kind of writing, and how would you describe like your ideal songwriting environment? Like, where do you find that like inspiration finds you most frequently? Like, is it in the morning, early in the morning, or late at night, or out in the woods, or like how would you describe your ideal songwriting environment?
For me, I mean, honestly, I'm still finding it in Chico. It was interesting. In New York, it was always during transit. I was always taking public transportation. My hands were free, and I was going somewhere. So it was almost like I was already doing something without having to try at all. I got on the train, and the train would take me there, and I would pull out my notebook, and I would just write for however many hours or minutes I'd be on the train. And here, it's a little different. In order to get somewhere, you can't write during transit. I guess I could record on my phone. It just seems like it'd be a little bit more dangerous in California to participate in the same kind of, process that I had on the East Coast.
Just don't write and drive, ladies and gentlemen.
I've found that in the middle of the day, like when everything's kind of cooling down after the day, I can sit at the piano and come up with something that I really like. I've kind of been getting into, I wouldn't say necessarily a routine with doing that, but that's where I've found the most joy from just finding music. As far as lyrics, you know, that's also kind of, you know, inspiration will hit you and maybe in a van ride or in the morning. I've tried to write, tried to sort of free write in the morning, and that's, I think, been really helpful just to kind of get the creative juices going. But musically, I'd say I think I've found the most success, I guess is the word. I mean, I've come up with things that I enjoy the most, you know, kind of at the end of the day, not in the evening, like not nighttime, everything's got to quiet down, but like just before everything's got to really quiet down and cool off, it's like there's still that daytime energy and kind of just sit down and, I don't know, I enjoy playing the piano. It's we have a piano in our living room, and I just enjoy kind of playing through chords and exploring the notes and exploring different chord progressions and how they relate to each other. And, you know, I try to come up with like a melody or something, and I'll just record it on my phone and maybe not do anything with it for months or something, and just go back and listen to it. And, oh, what was I doing with that? And maybe try to come up with lyrics. You know, I think it's about like marrying them together, you know, at a certain point. I rarely ever will come up with a lyric and a musical idea at the same time. Hmm. I think Samantha's maybe a little bit different.
Yeah, my style is definitely a different approach. A lot of my songs come from just word vomit. It like some of my songs I've written in just minutes, and they're full on, lyrics and melody that just happen all at once. I used to do a lot of songwriting, and I actually went through a period where somebody that I trusted their opinion, it really affected me. They just had some stuff to say that really got me doubting myself, and I've just started back into actually songwriting, and it's such a wonderful release. I didn't realize how much I'd missed it. And now I'm finding that nighttime, and I've always been kind of a night owl, but that's really when my brain has like the time to just decompress from the day, and that's when my imagination starts to wander. And it's working a 9-to-5 now is definitely an adjustment for songwriting, though, because it's just like, oh yeah, you don't want to stay up past 11 anymore, when like before like 3 a.m. was like a standard bedtime. But that's definitely when inspiration strikes for me, is when I have that solitude. I think that like anywhere that you can find seclusion, though. I remember being up in Ashland, and we had terrible reception one time when we were recording an album, and I was really inspired. I went on a lot of runs and stuff, and did a lot of songwriting on that trip too. So just having that downtime to yourself without being really connected to the rest of the world, I think, is the best time to write songs for me.
Well, I have just two questions left, and the first one is, what's the best songwriting piece of advice that you've gotten from someone else, or that you've just kind of discovered on your own, that like, oh, you know what, this is my little secret songwriting trick that I've discovered? or it could just be a piece of advice that someone else was like, you know, here's how I approach songwriting or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there are a couple things that came to mind when you said that. I haven't really thought about somebody like, you know, handing me down advice like, you know, Moses getting the, is that the biblical, you know, phrase? He gets the Ten Commandments.
He was the songwriter in the Bible.
Right. And he got his advice from God.
Original pop artist.
Yeah. No, there wasn't exactly I don't remember a moment necessarily like that, or like, that's not exactly what came to mind. But a couple of things that I thought of right off the bat were just, I've been collaborating with a local guitar player, Loki Miller, and through our collaborations, what I've noticed, you know, something that I would say to somebody else that's been really useful in our collaborations has just been that there's no wrong thing. I mean, there's nothing. No matter what you create, I mean, like we're talking about, you know, in the Bidwells, we're talking about a lyrical idea that didn't exactly sit right. And so that's another world of songwriting where you're really trying to get at the heart of a subject. And I think that there is there is a better and best way to do that. But when you're just trying to create music or, you know, a song idea, it's really good to just feel like, especially when you're still in the creative process, there's a polishing time that comes later on. But it's, I think it's really great to just let it all sit on the table and not be, not to discriminate against any kind of idea, just to let them all live there until you absolutely, like, I guess, need to say no to an idea or something. You know, and so that, I think that's a, you know, some good, a good lesson I learned, I guess, is just that do what feels good and keep on doing it, I guess, and not to be, not, I guess the advice would really be not to judge it too early, that can really kill a song or a lyric or any kind of idea. Like, really let it exist for a while longer before you dismiss it. I think that's been really helpful to me.
Nice. Yeah, my advice comes from, I had a really incredible art teacher in high school named Lori Stevens, and she was one of the most influential people in my life when it comes to artistic creativity. I used to be a very close-minded, like, a detailed type of artist, and she handed me a giant paintbrush one day and said, "This is all you get for the rest of the semester." And I made so many mistakes and flaws, and I thought I would be messing up my painting, and it turned into these amazing free-flowing works of art, and I can never thank her enough, because she opened my world up to the idea that creativity doesn't have to be so restricted and precise. It can be big and messy and gorgeous, and I think that really transferred over to my songwriting for a long time, is just put everything that you can out, just like what Ben was saying, everything on the table, because it's all workshopping, whether a song's complete or you just have a couple words that you like, it's all usable. I think that the other thing that I wish I would have heeded when I was younger is don't let other people get you down when it comes to your own music. Because I, just looking back at that time, I wish I was writing, because I had so many experiences that I think I could have pulled from, that I'm still pulling from right now. But I think that being able to write in the moment, I did lose a little bit of time that I'm trying to make up with on writing songs right now. And so just letting, knowing who to trust when it comes to constructive criticism, and knowing how to let that filter through your work without impeding it as well. So just surrounding with people that you trust, who support you through your creativity.
And my last question is about the song that you're playing for us today. Which song are you playing, and what can you tell us about it?
It's called The Mess.
And Ben, I'll ask you to get a little closer on the mic for this last question.
Sure. Sorry. Yeah, it's called The Mess. It's a song I wrote, I guess I wrote it in 2011 or 12 or something, and I would say it's about, you know, living in the moment and not letting your history or something, get you down, I guess. I mean, it's about a lot of things, I suppose, but really it's just about being happy with where you are and being happy with where you're going. And for me, when I play it, it's a really good reminder that, you know, we're just, you know, we're all moving forward no matter where you are in life. It's like, there can be moments where it really feels like you're in the middle of a snag, or that you're kind of stalled out, or that you're not keeping up or something. And this song, I had just moved back to Chico. And so, you know, those moments can be very, you know, those transition moments can be, you can second guess yourself, and you can wonder whether you made the right decisions and all these things. And, you know, you're constantly, it's a swirling of, like, excitement, but also a lot of insecure self-doubt. And so I think the song is just about being happy with right now and being happy that you're moving on in life, you know. And I think that it's always a good thing. It always, you know, it's hard to say that, like, right in the moment. I mean, if I were to have told myself that, then I'd shoo myself away and say, you know, I'm not ready to hear that yet. But that's kind of the way life is. I mean, you can look back on any hard moment and say, yeah, that was really tough, and but I managed to get through it somehow. And, you know, that's kind of what the mess is. I don't know. Yeah. One of the lyrics is, you can't have a party if you're worried about the mess. And I think that sums it up kind of in just the sense of, if you're always just, you know, concerned with what could go wrong or these inevitable things that, you know, the inevitable consequences of living your life, then you're not going to live your life.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite songs that you have written. And it is such a great mantra about being present and understanding that it's okay to take risks, that you can't have a party if you're worried about the mess. It's like there are things that I can look back in my life where I was like, oh, I wish I did that and stuff. But I thought, well, I don't know. What about if I don't have A or B or C? And I missed opportunities that I wish I had taken when I was younger. And this song really is a beautiful representation of just live in the moment and take advantage of what life has to offer, and don't necessarily burden yourself with the repercussions or the aftermath of everything. Just be happy and embrace everything fully. One of my favorite lines from it is the "We can do anything or nothing at all," and I love that line just because it's, you find beauty in whatever you're doing, and it's such a great reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can get caught up, you know, feeling like you have to be productive every single day. Yeah. And that's really not the case. There mm-hmm. can be days where you do literally nothing, and that's a good thing to do for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good to be productive. I mean, it's really kind of good.
It's all good.
Because tomorrow's going to come, and the next day after that, and all that. So it's like, if you don't get it done today, you'll get it done tomorrow. And if you did too much today, you can do nothing tomorrow. And it's all good, really.
There's a good Mark Twain quote that I like. It goes, "Don't put off until tomorrow what you can do just as well day after tomorrow."
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Well, Samantha and Ben, thank you so much for coming to North State Public Radio and sharing your music with us today.
Nolan, thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Nolan.